All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You ready for some more Ron Gant talk there, Keith? There's some good Ron Gant talk.
We had a lot of Ron Gant talk. I'd be happy to carry that over.
The
we just named the 90s Braves with we did have to look up one. We weren't sure, but we had to get a ruling on one.
Yeah, we had to look up Damon Berryhill. That was one I was not familiar
with. Like, who's the other catcher with Greg Olson? I'm like, oh, Damon Berryhill.
Yeah.
We got it, though. We figured it out.
It's okay. Greg Hill's show is running on Connecticut time this morning.
That's
so
fine.
We were spitting around some random 90s Braves teams.
A little peek
here
behind the curtain. It started with 40-40 club. Then that morphed into name as many 30-30 guys as you could, which then morphed into the 90s Braves. Which are three of my...
If you're 12 years old, who's in your hall
the
90s Braves?
No, that's my overall take, which I think is a good one.
Honestly, this is... strap in for this. This is a brilliant take by Keith, in all honesty, that we stumbled on this
now
morning.
Maybe it won't work the same, because I know baseball isn't as popular with kids today as it was when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think the whatever 12-year-old version of yourself, that's who should vote for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
12-year-olds can identify who is and who is not a Hall of Famer. And now, as Nick pointed out, yeah, maybe Carlos Delgado gets in. Maybe Rafael Furcal gets in. But there's going to be a couple misses.
Matt Stairs in.
Matt Stairs gets in. All right, so maybe they're not all true Hall of Famers, but I feel like you knew then.
Like, growing up, a general voting body of 12-year-olds, that's who picks the Hall of Fame, and they would do a better job than we do right now.
Because there are certain guys that you would see as a kid, and you'd be like in awe of that person. If you're in awe of that person as a kid, then that's probably
Troy
a Hall
Gloss
of Famer.
In the Hall.
Troy Gloss in.
Oh, my God. Troy Gloss would throw around the leather, though.
You know who wouldn't be? Craig Biggio. It always circles back to be pilot on Craig Biggio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone's like, stop! Oh. Leave him alone! He's a Hall of Famer with a family!
Cool, he got hit a lot.
I'm in on Biggio.
You are a Biggio guy?
You like guys getting hit by pitches? Like,
so not even that. No, here's what does it for me.
Billy's
right?
A bit of a baseball masochist. He likes watching people just get pulverized by fastballs.
I give him credit because he played all of the important positions up the middle of the field.
Catcher.
He didn't pitch second. He was a middle infielder.
Sure.
He played center.
Center.
The most important positions on the field, he played them well.
Those were the Biggio positions. I would have put the whole Killer Bees in if
was a stat compiler. You got Lance Berkman in there, the big Puma?
Oh, I was thinking the early ones.
Derek Bell.
I was thinking the early Killer Bees. Yeah, not the
Berkman,
replacement.
He kind of slid in there nicely. He had a good year. He had a good career, actually.
Real nice career.
Big Puma?
Was that his nickname? That's the second
his
time
he said
that.
His nickname was the big Puma. I just want to make sure you caught it. Yeah, he's Big Puma.
The first time you said it, I thought that was you just calling him that.
Am I wrong about this?
No, I hope as soon as I type in Big Puma, it comes up Big Lance Puma Berkman. Dash Lance Berkman.
Google Big Puma. You're going to get yourself some Lance Berkman.
Don't DuckDuckGo that on a work computer.
Nicknamed Fat Elvis and Big Puma.
No, Fat Elvis makes sense. You ever seen that guy?
Oh, Lance Berkman,
Yeah, well, maybe he's a skinny Elvis, but he's got a pudgy face going on looking like Elvis.
Yeah, but on the Yankees, he had to cut those mutton chops.
Was he on the Yankees?
Yeah, Big Puma was on the Yankees, wasn't he, at the end?
Everybody knows that.
Billy's nodding. He's like, yeah, come on.
He was. Of course he was.
I think Big Donkey was Adam Dunn.
Oh, Big Donkey for sure was Adam Dunn. He was the original three outcome player. Now they're all three outcome players.
Yeah, yeah.
Home run, strikeout, walk.
Big Donkey. Adam Dunn does come up. Big Donkey. He goes Big Donkey brand, Big Donkey resin, Big Donkey baseball dash Adam Dunn.
Adam Dunn.
He makes resin? You can pop that right on your bat?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it like pine tar resin? What kind of resin are we talking?
That was a guy, Adam Dunn, who played most of his career in the National League when they didn't have a DH, and yet he was a DH. So they just stay, they like hand him a glove and stick him out in the outfield. Like, oh, do your best. And then he hit 40 home runs. He would strike out 240 times. He would walk 100 times. He would hit 200 with an OBP of like 400. It was insane. But that was baseball. That was classic
baseball.
That
was baseball.
That was baseball, Susan. If
12-year-olds just voted on the Hall of Fame,
yeah,
we would have a great Hall of Fame.
You'd know who was in.
You'd know.
Yep.
So it's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI.
That is baseball!
Taking your phone calls. Thank you, Mad Dog.
Thank you.
617-779-7937. You can text us at 37937. Lots of ways to interact with the show. You can follow on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Terp already came in and said, you look weird on the camera, Jones.
That's classic.
To which I said,
that's normal.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's different today?
No.
But there's already some comments in there. Good.
What are people saying? Looks crazy.
Fix Jones's camera.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're good.
Jones, you look strange. Well, yeah, to yeah. which I say,
par
that's
for the course.
First day on Twitch.
Par for the course.
You can also watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. You can see old segments, old interviews there. You can watch live on the live streams again.
People just throwing out names. This I love. We can do this all day. Juan Gonzalez, Jeff Kent. Go ahead, throw a name. Actually, how about this?
I mean, Ron Gant, we went down the Ron Gant rabbit hole and it was wonderful.
We were picking apart Ron Gant. Ron Gant had two 30-30 seasons back to back in the early 90s for the Braves. I say we add this to the grab bag. Random baseball player of the day. Every day we do one.
Now we're talking.
And we just spend a couple minutes on, maybe 10 minutes on a guy. 10 to 15 minutes.
A current player?
No. No, God, no.
History.
No, random player. No, maybe I guess it could be random enough where it is a current player, but I think chances are it's going to be a player from the 90s.
There's got to be like some kind of randomizer where we could just
spit it's called
out
Rich Keefe's brain, and we'll figure out a random.
You're just going to do it.
Oh, what do you think?
Yeah.
Throw it in there. Random player of the game.
There's nothing better than
random baseball player of the day.
Around naming old baseball players.
Yeah. What do we know about it?
Random baseball player of the day.
Okay.
Just like you pick a team, you scroll through the old baseball reference.
Throw
it
in the bag.
Yeah.
Maybe the bottom of the bag. Doesn't have to be right at the top of the bag.
We might lead with it. Well, once the Ohtani watch is up, we're going to have to come up with something else.
What's our lead?
Best random nicknames of baseball
players. Yeah. Now we're talking.
Yeah. We'll take a deep dive into this player.
You're Big Puma.
Yep.
You're Fat Elvis.
You're
Big Donkey.
What was, who's Kronk? Who was that guy?
Pronk. It was Pronk.
Pronk
it
was
Travis.
Oh.
No, Travis Hafner.
Travis Hafner
was Pronk.
Pronk. He would sock some dingers, though.
Hafner? Would he?
Oh, my God.
He would have fit in on those 90s
He'd
Cleveland
kill the
teams.
Ball.
Yeah, yeah. You put him in there.
He was born too late.
He was born too late.
He
was a man behind the times, is what it was. Yeah, but that's baseball. I'll tell you what, though. Those Cleveland teams, they could build a roster.
Cleveland was great.
Those Braves teams, they could build a roster.
They could.
You know who could build a roster in the NFL, Keefe?
Who's that?
This week's opponent for the New England Patriots.
Oh, well done,
the
Jones.
San Francisco. Well, you know, 10-16. 10-16, we're going to get to our lead topic here. Is there
Juan Guzman. Sorry.
Juan Guzman was great because in Toronto his glove was blue.
Blue glove.
Yeah, it was blue. The Toronto blue.
I thought it was Juan
blue.
Guzman.
Guzman, sorry.
Guzman.
Yeah, you don't know who I was talking about?
He loved Soul Glow, though.
His he did.
Always looked like he just stepped out of the shower with that hair.
He might have squeezed out an All-Star game.
You got a Cy Young?
Maybe a vote.
Pat
I don't
Henkin?
Think he won it.
Pat Henkin, maybe.
Oh, Pat Henkin. He definitely won a Cy Young.
Pat Henkin would give you a Cy Young. Jimmy Key?
Jimmy Key, he'd be at least get some votes.
I think Jimmy Key did it with glasses on, too. But Tom Hankey, one of those guys.
Tom Hankey wore glasses.
Yeah. Tom Hankey might have worn glasses. Yeah, that's
One-time All-Star, Juan Guzman. ERA title, though.
Guzman.
I know you're confused of who I'm talking about. 96 Cy Young title. How about this? 95, he had an ERA over 6. 96, ERA under 3.
Nice.
What happened?
Yeah, what could have got on there? It's a good question.
What happened?
But anyway,
great question.
You were discussing the 49ers in San Francisco.
Yeah. I will take your Juan Guzman phone calls. lessons from the Niners and their team building, because you hear this all the time. This debate going on with the Patriots and their quarterback, Patriots and their roster building, team building. Oh, I would like to have the roster in place before you drop in the quarterback. And then there are those of us out there, like myself, like Keith, who say, get the quarterback and then figure it out. Like, I'm not on board with trying to plug in all these different pieces. Wide receiver here, offensive line there. Get your defense. Get it all set, ready-made to hand off to a quarterback. The Niners are that team. They're the team that a lot of people dream of, a lot of people want for an ideal situation. I would say Kansas City is in this spot too. Kansas City had the roster in place. Alex Smith got them to a certain level. Mahomes put them over the top. But San Fran's in that group.
Yeah.
They built their roster this way, filled everything else out. They've tried different quarterbacks. They tried Garoppolo. Didn't work.
No.
They tried Trey Lance. Really didn't work. So far with Brock Purdy, it's working-ish, but they haven't won yet. So that model, the San Francisco model that a lot of people point to and want and think is ideal for a young quarterback, they still haven't won. Is there a lesson in that team-building experience with the Niners that you can apply to the Patriots?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is funny because they've done it in a number of ways. I also feel like depending on who you talk to or who you listen to, the Niners are getting so much credit for something they haven't even done yet. It's almost like, oh, they're the Chiefs of the West or whatever. Like, no, yeah. They haven't won.
No, they've been
there.
They
haven't
been there.
Won. They've gotten there.
Knocked on the door.
They've lost. I think Kyle Shanahan, to me, has a really, really high floor, yet chokes. The guy chokes, whether he's offensive coordinator with the Falcons or whether he's the head coach with the 49ers. He can't break through. There's something happening. I know they had a lot of quarterback injuries, and they've had to play, you know, they were up against it in some of those playoff games, but still he hasn't been able to break through. But yeah, they tried trading for a veteran. I know Garoppolo didn't have a ton of experience, but he was already in the league. So they tried that. Traded a second round pick for a guy. Didn't work. Got close, but then they said, you know what, we need to upgrade. So then, not only did they take a quarterback high, like the Patriots just did at number 3 overall, but they sacrificed their future, it looked like, to move up and get that guy. They traded multiple ones to get Trey Lance and found out right away it didn't work. But they played him, realized it wasn't him, and they moved on, which you got to give them credit for. And that would have been a fireable offense for, I think, any other GM, except John Lynch is kind of hit these drafts out of the... You know, you get George Kittle in the 5th round.
Yeah.
You know, you get Deebo Samuel in the 2nd round.
Even Ayuk late 1st round.
Now, Nick Bosa was the number 2 pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. So they've had, like, a lot of, like, high picks. They've had some low picks in there. They've taken some big swings. But they have accumulated talent. They're not afraid to trade. You know,
McCaffrey, Super Bowl.
Exactly. Yeah. They're trading for a running back. Most people would say, don't do it. They're trading up and drafting a quarterback who's not even that good. They would say, don't do it. So I look at it more, I think they got the coach right, at least to get everybody on the same page looking pretty good. But their quarterback thing, like, I still don't think that's the way to do it. Like, wait, because now they haven't paid him a ton of money yet. So is that something that they're willing to do? Or is it just, well, Brock Purdy's sort of the placeholder right now, but are we going to hand this guy $200 million?
So it's a good question, and it's a long-term consideration for San Fran. My guess is they won't. You know, my guess is, if they do, they'll structure it in a way where they can get out of it because yeah. Shanahan spun the dial at quarterback, and he gets very impatient with these quarterbacks, and my guess is they'll have another one in a couple of years, if I had to guess. But when it comes to San Fran, that lesson in team building, like, okay, the Chiefs did it. The Chiefs had a roster, and they dropped in Patrick Mahomes. He also is arguably the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, and he's right there neck and neck with Brady. He is tracking ahead of Brady at this stage in his career. So, okay, sure, if you drop the greatest quarterback in on a roster that's already pretty good.
And a pretty great coach, too. You know,
phenomenal coach.
Right.
You're going to win. But let's say you don't get that. Let's say you don't get a generational, arguably the greatest player of all time at quarterback. Can you win the way the Niners did it? So far, the answer is no. And I think that's another check mark in the column of you got to go get the quarterback. You need the quarterback before the roster. And so what lessons are there in San Fran's team building? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. And if that's the way to build a team, why haven't they won yet? Why hasn't that team won yet? Is it the coach? Do they not have a good enough quarterback? Have they been unlucky? You can jump in again on the phones, plus all your random baseball players that are rolling in.
Yes, appreciate those.
617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Well, some of these we can't say. I know that's
a real player name.
That's
though.
A first base coach, I believe, but yeah. That's one we're not going to say here.
Rusty! Yeah, no, these are great.
RK.
Yeah, Dan Quisenberry. Pete Incaviglia is always a go-to of mine.
What happened to the guy on Baltimore that hit like 50 home runs and deflated and went away? That was Brady Anderson. What do you mean, what happened to him?
Brady Anderson hit 50. Oh, yeah, I was going to say Crush Davis.
Or Mark Trumbo.
Oh, Mark Trumbo.
Wow, good one.
Nice one, Nick.
The Rusty Trumbo.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
a lot of guys.
Wow.
That popped off for a year in Baltimore.
Who was that text about? I thought we were clearly talking about Brady Anderson. Maybe we were talking about Crush Davis. Shame on me.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Gerard, do you see any merit to the idea of adding a veteran quarterback to the roster just so you can have full control over when Drake plays as opposed to having your hand potentially forced by injury?
That's not in our plans at this current time.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Gerard Mayo yesterday, asked about signing a veteran quarterback. Not at this time, he said.
Not at this time. TBD.
TBD. Yeah. Also not at this time, Brandon Ayuk on the New England Patriots. Did the Pats dodge a bullet there? Did they get lucky? We'll get into that. 617-779-7937. NFL Talk on WEEI is brought to you by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com. Get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro. Perhaps that's how a lot of you are texting in your baseball names. 37937. Where did this one come from? Somebody said they got... Oh, here you go. The only autograph I ever got on a baseball...
Where else you get them?
Was Jose Offerman.
And Jose Offerman.
This got us talking off the air. The only autograph I can remember getting at Fenway, and it was not on a baseball, but the only autograph I can remember getting
yes,
was from Ricky Bonus.
Which is hilarious.
Of the Milwaukee Brewers. Keith, did you ever have any autographs?
Ricky Bonus.
Is that wild?
Is that insane? Jones and I might have been standing next to each other in their mid-90s getting a Ricky Bonus autograph.
One-time All-Star Ricky Bonus with the
One-time
Milwaukee
All-Star,
yeah.
A right-handed pitcher with the Brew Crew. Signed an autograph. What a great guy. Clearly, he signed a lot of autographs. You and I both got an autograph.
I'm telling you, my recollection is not that I went to a baseball game being like, I need to get Ricky Bonus's autograph.
Evidently not.
Or any autograph. Yeah. I think he was signing so many autographs, yeah. My dad was like, this guy's just handing out autographs. Why don't you go get one?
I had the authentic Ricky Bonus jersey. I went down. I was like, hey, Ricky, you going to give us a sign here right on the number?
I'll tell you what, though. I had a Brewers hat in high school. That might be why. It might all be like subconsciously. Nice. Like a great logo. Like tremendous. It was like the
glove.
Yeah, the glove.
Little ball in the glove.
Yeah, the MB.
Right in the palm, though.
The MB ball in the glove.
You don't want to catch the ball like
that. You don't want to get it in the wet.
It'd sting you.
Yeah.
It'd sting the hand if you caught it like that.
No, it's a good
point. Yeah, it is. There's an MB.
Yeah.
If you kind of cross your eyes, you can see it.
But maybe it was all thanks to Ricky Bonus.
Maybe.
Could be.
That's back when they were in the American League, right?
They were in the AL, yeah.
Oof, boy, long time ago.
That was baseball.
That certainly was.
That was baseball.
Uh-huh.
Let's knock out a couple of these because they're there. Peter's in Weston. Hello, Peter.
Peter.
Yes. Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
We're great.
You do a great job.
Thank you.
yesterday, you probably recall, was the 50th anniversary of the Tommy John surgery, the first ever by Dr. Job in
that
L.A.
That was a spare part in the grab bag yesterday. Yep. We didn't quite get to that.
Of
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. But here's a thought. Why isn't this guy in the Hall of Fame is a great question. Every left-hander that has 283 wins or more, Jim Cott had 283, he had 288, is in the Hall of Fame.
Put him in.
And the guys asked yesterday, why wouldn't this guy be in the Hall of Fame with the career that he had and the fact that baseball might be dead without Tommy John surgery?
The legacy of the Tommy John surgery.
If it wasn't for Tommy John, I think we'd be underhand pitch at this point. that's fair to say?
I mean, it basically is. They all throw like 150. There's not going to be a 20-game winner in baseball this year.
Put him in.
But well, hang on, no.
If you woke up this morning, I'm going to call Jones and Keefe. Go ahead.
Sorry. Wait. Get in the time machine. 12-year-old Keefe.
Do I have Tommy John in?
12-year-old Keefe. You got Tommy John in the Hall of Fame?
I'm going to be a no.
That's a no.
That's a no for me.
That's a no for me, Doug.
But listen, he's obviously very passionate about it. He might need him to speak on his behalf next year at the BBWAA meeting.
Of course.
Guys, why is Tommy John not in the Hall of Fame?
Of course, yesterday was the 50-year anniversary. Yeah. Of course. I believe is how he set that up.
I think you add that to the list. We have a growing list of things accomplished on the Jones and Keefe show in the first month. A solid push for Tommy John to be in the Hall of Fame.
No, it's like it's like a passion project of ours.
Yeah. No, not ours. Just no,
let's take it over.
I don't want to. I'm not putting him in.
How dare you?
I'm not like against it. Ooh, Paul Konerko is a good one. Look at the text line. I'm gonna be so distracted by the text line all day.
Paul Konerko, Cleveland,
no.
Seattle?
Yeah, no, White Sox.
I'm sorry. Who am I thinking of? Paul.
He had a little goatee.
Sorrento.
Paul Sorrento is who I'm thinking of.
Paul Sorrento is a deeper cut.
Nah,
Paul Konerko is more your household name.
I'm sorry. Paul Konerko.
Sorrento is a deep cut.
I'm sorry. Paul Sorrento is 100% who I'm thinking
of.
Yeah.
Dude, Konerko, the goatee, socking dingers.
Oh, yeah. Him and.
Come on. You can't blank on me like that.
Jim Thome.
Oh, yeah. Jim Thome's in like the 600 home run club.
I'm saying, when they were White Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah, Frank Thomas.
Yeah. A good one, Nick.
No, but did Konerko overlap with Thomas?
No, I don't think so.
I think he replaced. He probably replaced him.
Yep. And then Big Donkey came in there for a minute too.
Didn't quite Wally Pippen. Yeah. Let's keep this going. Mark's in Medford. Hello,
Mark.
Hey, I'm a diehard Yankees fan, so forgive me for that.
It's fine.
I had three names, but I'm only going to give you two. And I believe one should be in the Hall of Fame if he's not already.
Tommy John.
But the first thing, the first thing I'm going to give you. Is I loved Paul O'Neill. Loved him.
Oh, I hated him.
Yeah, I couldn't stand him.
I hated Paul O'Neill.
I don't know if the second one's in the Hall of Fame that I think should be in the Hall of Fame, but the Moose, Mike Mussina.
No, he's in.
Moose is in. Roger Clemens.
He actually single-handedly ruined the Hall of Fame, I think. Mike Mussina pretty much ruined
the Hall of Fame. Is he the pitcher?
That was the line for me where I'm like, the Hall of Fame is officially.
Dude, I hated Paul O'Neill. Like, I hated every Yankee growing up. That's what you do. And I hated Paul O'Neill.
Every 12-year-old kid in New England hated Paul. That wasn't a Yankee fan. Every 12-year-old Red Sox fan hated Paul O'Neill.
Threw a fit. Like, it was somebody else's fault. He got out every time.
Yeah.
Although, as I've learned to mature, if he was on the Red Sox, he would have been my favorite player by far. He's like a lunatic.
He would have been Trout Nixon. Different ways, but like we would have loved him.
No, but I couldn't stand him. Mussina, listen, I love playing the random baseball player name. Not deep enough. Not deep enough cup. No. That's a household name.
Mike Mussina never won a Cy Young?
Did he his last year? No, he won 20 games his like last year, I think.
Mike
he won
Messina,
a ton of games.
4-4-5-5-6-2-6-5-6. No, yeah, no. He won
That's
a bunch of gold gloves.
Better career, Chris Sale or Mike Messina? It might be Sale.
It's Sale.
Yeah.
Sale's about to win a Cy Young.
Sale's probably going to go in the Hall of Fame because of this year.
Yeah. Nice trade there, Breslow.
What about Tommy John?
Who gets
in first, Chris Sale or Tommy John?
By the way, I'm okay with trading Chris Sale, FYI.
Yeah, I know.
Bad return.
All right.
Okay, let's get back on the Patriots. Coach is in New Hampshire. Hello, Coach.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, how are you guys?
The Pats
are kind of losing me as a fan because I think there's a major disconnect with the offense. They draft a modern-day quarterback that can move just enough. He's in the gun and he can throw. Yet they bring in Alex Van Pelt and Ben McAdoo, whose offensive philosophy mirrors that of a junior high school program, where you play defense and you run the ball, even though we have no offensive line to do so. I don't know who signed off on Van Pelt and McAdoo in terms of their philosophy and their approach, because it's nowhere near the skill set of Drake May, and I see it as a disconnect, and
okay,
I'm really turned off by it.
So, Coach, I think a lot of fans feel that way. I know Keith feels that way.
Yeah, I think that's a great call, Coach, because I think we spent a lot of time this whole last month talking about offensive line and, you know, stud skill position guys. If you look at all the quarterbacks right now that are rookies and you look at who is mainly responsible for developing them, will you take Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels, Sean Payton and Bo Nix? Maybe a little bit more of a question mark, Shane Waldron with Caleb Williams, and then Van Pelt.
Waldron's pretty bad. Waldron is in the Van Pelt level of poor offensive coordinator.
But the one thing with Waldron is he helped resurrect Geno Smith. So he has a little bit more of a track record, or a little bit more of a, oh, that guy was written off, and you got your best years out of him.
And Van Pelt was riding shotgun last year, not calling plays when you resurrected Flacco, but we don't even know that that was Van Pelt. At least with Waldron, you can give
that. And
to
Coach's point, Drake May's not like Flacco. Drake May's not like a lot of these quarterbacks that Alex Van Pelt has been with. And so when he says who hired him, Elliott Wolf hired him, but he was also like the 12th choice. So he was also the only guy that wanted the job.
And ownership probably hired him because he's probably pretty cheap.
Not Mayo.
So, not Mayo.
Which speaks to the disconnect, which he's right about.
I think we're going to play you some more Gerard Mayo later on in the show. I think Mayo's ready to make the switch to Drake May right now, but I don't think it's his call. And so, who hired Van Pelt? Probably some combination of Wolf and ownership. And so that's who you can be pissed at. But I think it's a fair point. And do they have an offensive coordinator that meshes with their quarterback? Brandon Ayuk, by the way, they threw upwards of $80 million.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk.
They wanted this guy. And they were going to have to trade.
They were going to give up a lot in addition. It was like multiple draft picks and Kendrick Bourne going back to San Francisco. Brandon Ayuk, so far, through
How's
three
he doing?
Games, 11 catches.
Three games?
20 targets. So he's getting the ball thrown.
All right.
To
him. They're tossing it to him.
119 yards. No touchdowns. I guarantee you he dropped at least one touchdown. Maybe he's dropped more. His last week, I want to get the exact numbers in front of me. Last week he had five catches, 10 targets, 48 yards against the bad Rams team where Juwan Jennings was going off. Did the Patriots?
And no Debo, no Kittle,
great
no McCaffrey.
Point. Sorry, other weapons were out. Yeah, you need him to step up. Juwan Jennings did. He didn't. Did the Patriots dodge a bullet with Brandon Ayuk?
I'm going to say no. So I don't think Brandon Ayuk is Ja'Marr Chase, and like we've gone over this before. Like there are 5-6 receivers in the league that I think are without a doubt better than Brandon Ayuk, but I don't think any of those guys are available. So I'm not going to completely change my tune because I wanted Brandon Ayuk, you know, going back to a month ago. I wanted him on the Patriots. He'd be their clear-cut number one receiver. He would help you determine pretty quickly, I think, whether Drake May has it or he doesn't if you give him someone like this. So he's off to a slow start. It's also because he was doing the holdout, hold-in thing. Like, he wasn't around. I think it has more to do with him kind of knocking the rust off. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the end zone this week or pretty soon, like, Brandon Ayuk turns it around. Maybe.
Bozo touchdown, bro?
I'm thinking. I have two other guys, though, that I like more.
You're thinking about Ayuk?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's plus money.
Right? I would imagine, yeah.
No, but I think because the guys around him are still going to be out. Juwan Jennings had three, so maybe they take Jennings out. I don't think Ayuk is as bad as he's been these three games. I mean, last year he had 75 catches, 1,300 yards, and 7 touchdowns. He's been the 49ers' leading receiver the last two seasons. So I think this is a slow start. I don't think the Patriots dodged a bullet. I think he'd be far and away their best guy.
I think there's something to be said to the holdout guys, and I would even put Kelsey in this group, where it's like Ayuk didn't have an offseason. Lamb didn't have an offseason.
I mean, I don't really think Kelsey had an off season. He's out gallivanting around with Taylor Swift.
Got a brutal haircut.
Filming commercials, yeah. Getting fat.
And podcasting. These podcasters. Yeah.
So I think there is a bit of a parallel there. I don't want to say they dodged a bullet, but I think this underscores some of what you'd be getting into if you're going to pay a good receiver elite money. It's like, all right, this guy was holding out. He's already...
But I think Ayuk's on that line. Are you sliding him way down your wideout power rankings? Like, I mean, I think he's 10, 11, 12.
I was going to say, maybe 15 to 20, sure. Something like that. Like definitely,
okay, that's lower.
Definitely a top 20 receiver, maybe a top 15 receiver, but outside the top 10. I think we agree on that.
Like, this is a team that is desperate for a number one receiver. They might have the worst receiving group in the NFL.
This team needs it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Mm-hmm. If that's the production he's getting in that offense, what would he be doing here? With Jacoby Brissett afraid to throw to him?
Not much. Yeah. No, but I think that's a move you make for Drake May. That's not a move you're like, oh, maybe Jacoby, they win two games.
That's true. If they had Ayuk, does May start week one? Maybe.
Maybe.
Because
that's the Terry McLaurin defense, right? Yeah, that's everybody screaming, well, Jayden Daniels, that's Terry McLaurin. All right. Well, if Brandon Ayuk is here, maybe Drake May's got a better chance.
Oh, and I'll give you Ayuk greater than McLaurin. I would definitely give you that.
Yeah, okay.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. The Patriots get lucky with Brandon Ayuk, or do you think they still should have gone after him? We talked about the Niners, their team building. If that's the way you want to build a team, offensive line, wide receivers, defense, a great tight end, the Niners have everything, great coach. How come they haven't won if that's the way you want to build the Patriots? And is that a check mark for drafting someone like Drake May and getting that right first? We can get to that. Plus, Bill Belichick. What's at stake for Bill on Thursday Night Football tonight between Dallas and the Giants? Turns out quite a bit. We'll get to it next.
I think Doug Peterson is under a lot of pressure over the next month to get this thing turned around and show some real progress. I certainly think this is one where Belichick could be looming, the same way he is over a couple of NFC East teams. And certainly a situation that bears watching and an attractive situation for another coach coming in that you've got the quarterback in place, teams in Florida, owners shown to be patient in the past. They really have something to sell there.
Jonathan Keefe here on WEEI. That was Burt Breer. Discussing Bill and the Jaguars. He thinks there's a chance Bill would go to the Jags.
Nope. I don't think so.
I don't either.
I think with the Jaguars, if Trevor Lawrence was better, this is an obvious statement, I think Bill would have more of a, like, okay, at least the quarterback said I can worry about everything else. Because I also think the owner down there would be pretty desperate to win, Shad Khan, and say, all right, well, Bill Belichick, big name. Maybe that helps sell a few tickets and maybe, you know, let him take over full control over everything. But it's too much of a fixer-upper. I don't think Bill, whether he has 1, 2, 3 years left coaching, doesn't want it to be a turnaround. I think he wants to take over a 10-win team and get them over the top.
And I get it. You're the Jaguars, so you would want Bill in your organization. They brought in Tom Coughlin, right?
They brought in
and,
Urban Meyer.
Thank you. And so, the name recognition stuff with Jacksonville, I think that would play. I don't know that they're going to give Bill the kind of money Bill wants. I don't know if the Jaguars are that kind of organization, but let's say they do.
Yeah.
What I would question more with Belichick is you need him to fix Trevor Lawrence. You think Bill's going to fix any broken quarterback? Never mind.
No.
What about Matt Patricia? And Joe Judge?
Patricia? Yeah. Joe Judge? McDaniels?
He probably would take McDaniels.
Maybe Josh McDaniels.
Maybe McDaniels does give you a fighting chance on that. Right? It wouldn't be the last couple years.
What broken quarterback did McDaniels fix? He brought in Mac Jones.
I was going to say, he got the best year out of Mac Jones.
But was Mac broken?
Mac wasn't broken. Sucks, though, as
a player, but he wasn't broken.
No, he wasn't broken. Yeah, but did he get broken, did he just get exposed?
We
don't need to go down this.
Are you going to ruin a quarterback or not? We can debate that. I don't really think so. But, obviously he...
Yeah.
He was worse for his experience in New England. I think we can acknowledge that.
Kyle Orton had a couple good games for Josh McDaniels in Denver.
Fair.
No.
Before they went to Tebow. Yeah. No. But
it's not who you want for Trevor Lawrence.
If I'm Jacksonville, right, I'm trying to bring in a guy who's going to fix my quarterback, I think, unless I'm just separating entirely from my quarterback, I don't know that Bill would be that guy. So I thought it was interesting Burt played into that. And, Bill's got the place in Florida and everything else, maybe there's something to it. Real quick, before we get into what's at stake for Belichick tonight, you can probably guess. We'll take your phone call, 617-779-7937 here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get into who would you rather be, the Niners or the Patriots? That sounds obvious on the surface.
Yes, it does.
But who would you rather be? Let's play that out.
Dig into that a little bit.
Give us a fighting chance on this one. We'll get to it.
Hear us out.
At 11 sharp. Our buddy Matt on Twitter.
Yep.
At Jones, WEEI, at Keefe21. Terry McLaurin has had four straight 1,000-yard seasons with these quarterbacks. Alex Smith, Dwayne Haskins, the late Dwayne Haskins,
wow, yep.
Kyle Allen, Taylor Heineke, Carson Wentz, Sam Howell. He says, I'm taking McLaurin over Ayuk 100 times
Man,
out of 100.
I mean, that's a good argument, but that's also like Allen Robinson. Like, Allen Robinson had a lot of really good years with bad quarterbacks, and then you're like, oh, wait till he goes to the, he's going to kick ass with the Rams. You're like, oh, no, he stinks. But no, I like McLaurin. I think McLaurin's good, but it's the same neighborhood. Like, if you have McLaurin above Ayuk, fine, but I don't think it's by too many spots. Like, we did this exercise before the season began. I'm not going to completely change it after three games. I think Ayuk is good. I don't think he's in the... There's like six or seven guys that I think, if we were tier Tuesdaying wide receivers, would be above everybody else.
Lamb, Chase, Jefferson, you know, like all those guys.
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill is a good
Cooper
one.
Cooper Kupp, yeah. If he's healthy. Devontae Adams. You don't like Adams and Kupp?
I mean, I like them, but are they on that tier with
I
those guys?
I think they still are. Oh, yeah.
With Jefferson and Chase and CeeDee Lamb and Tyreek Hill?
Dude, you see what Cooper Kupp did the last time he was healthy?
Yeah,
he set every single record in the history of wide receivers.
Last time he was healthy was 3 years ago.
All right, well, I'm sad when he's healthy.
Okay, well, he's hurt again.
That's all. And Devontae Adams, I think, is nasty, too, and he has now hit a stretch of horrible quarterback
all
play.
All those guys are, don't misunderstand.
Well, they're all nasty.
All those guys are better than Ayuk and McLaurin, but are they as good as the first group of names you mentioned? I would just, I'd create another tier, Keith.
Oh, wow.
I would.
I think maybe we have our next topic.
I would sandwich in a tier.
That's fine.
So you can jump in on that. When it comes to Bill Belichick, the loser tonight of Dallas and the Giants on Thursday Night Football is going to be 1-3. Is that the team that's in the driver's seat for trying to land Bill?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Cowboys have much higher expectations for the season than the Giants do. I know there's this whole, like, oh, Bill would love to go back to the Giants. But that's like Jacksonville, but with a more historic franchise. You're like, it's such a fixer-upper. They don't have a quarterback. I don't think Bill going to the Giants.
They got Malik Nabers.
They do have Malik Nabers, who's nice, but they got Danny Dimes. They sank a lot of money into Danny Dimes. I just think that's a terrible spot. Even if he loves the New York Giants, I still think it's all about the Cowboys. So if the Cowboys fall to 1-3, I'm not saying it happens in season, but man, that Mike McCarthy seat is going to be on fire. And that's the more turnkey operation. That's the one that he wants to be targeting. So you don't want that. If you're Bill, you probably don't want Dallas to turn things around and get good again, because then that might be a spot that you can't go to.
So I agree with you. I don't think McCarthy makes it through the year. You don't think Bill's taking a job in season, though, right?
I still don't, but I also didn't think Mike McCarthy would possibly get fired this early.
Yeah, I mean, let me complete my thought. If they keep going down this path, McCarthy won't make it
How
through the year.
How patient can they be? Like, what's the record for McCarthy to get fired?
When's their bye week?
That's what
I would look up. Like, is their bye week like week 8? Because that'd be the time. Why can I not open this?
They don't have a bye week. No, it's week 7. Ooh, week 7.
Right there. Yeah, you're 2-4 on the bye week. McCarthy could lose his job.
Dude, how about this? They have Giants tonight, and then they're at Pittsburgh, and then they're home to Detroit.
Yeah.
So they could be 2-4.
They could be 2-4 with two straight losses on their bye week.
Woo!
He could lose his job right there.
Woo! And then how about
going
this?
Going into the Niners coming out of the bye?
And then at Atlanta. Imagine if Bill was coaching at Atlanta. I don't think it's going to happen. But this early in the season, like, do you just go interim, or do you like really kind of open up? You're like, hey, like,
yeah, you probably, I mean, Kellen Moore or somebody like that probably gets the
Mike
promotion.
No, Kellen Moore's out in.
I'm sorry, no, yeah, you're right. Kellen Moore. When I talk about, he's in Philly.
Who do they got as
Zimmer's on the staff? Isn't he? He's the DC.
Oh, do they got the Zim Dog?
Yeah, that's right. He's their defensive coordinator. He could do it.
The Zim Reapers.
Kellen Moore hasn't been there for like 5 years.
No, he's not there.
I think he left last year.
No, he was in the Chargers.
Yeah,
Zim Dog.
Brian Schottenheimer is the OC.
Ugh. Okay, yeah, but some comment. That's what they would do. They wouldn't bring in Bill.
No,
right?
They wouldn't. No, they wouldn't.
But no, he could lose his job in the next couple of weeks. They probably win tonight, right? They probably win tonight.
They should win tonight. Yeah, they win tonight. I think CeeDee Lamb is definitely going to score a touchdown, by the way, because he.
Give us a little bonus, a Thursday night Bozo touchdown parlay.
Yeah, so this isn't part of the Bozo parlay. That'll be tomorrow around this time.
It's a Keefe touchdown parlay that I laid down this morning. I did this morning.
Lamb and Nabers?
I laid it down.
Lamb and Nabers. So Lamb is one of these guys that was like taking blame for the loss last week, even though it really wasn't his fault. But he's upset. He's mad. Obviously, a bad loss to the Ravens. He's popping off a little bit. He's off to a slow start. I think that's an automatic touchdown for CeeDee Lamb. Then Malik Nabers gets like 25 targets a game. He's the only guy they have on offense. So even if the Giants score 7 points tonight, it'll be Malik Nabers.
I believe Malik Nabers is on pace for an NFL record of targets.
Yeah, that's all he got.
If I'm not mistaken, he is on pace. It's only 3 weeks, but he's on pace to set the NFL record for targets in a year.
Dallas is 6 point. Like Dallas is 6 point favorites. I think it's on the road, but I think they'll win this. But I'm more confident in those two touchdowns.
Okay. plunk down on the parlay if you want to. We'll get the Bozo Touchdown Parlay about 24 hours from now. Wiggy, if you're listening. That's when we'll be doing it, 10:45-ish, along with Survivor Pool 3.0. Are we doing that? I think we're Survivor Pool 3.0.
Bring it back? Undertaker GIF?
I think at this point we just keep doing it.
I'm going to pick the Bengals.
Part
again.
Of the comedy is four of us going out every week. Yeah,
you
exactly.
Take the Bengals, I'll take the Panthers.
All right, let's do it.
Beautiful. So that means somebody wins.
Somebody survives.
Oh, smart.
Yeah.
All head-to-head picks.
We'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. Here's a question that's pretty easy on the surface, but maybe if you dig a little deeper, It's not so simple. Who would you rather be, the 49ers or the Patriots? Sounds very easy, but is it? We'll get to it next.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.